What are the questions that you'll find yourself asking in 2015? What are the questions that you will ask? Perhaps you'll be thinking, where will I go on holiday? Or can I even afford to go on holiday? Can I even afford the time off? Perhaps you're asking, will I manage the goals that I set myself in January? Things that I want to achieve, things that I want to do. Perhaps you're asking yourself such things. Maybe you're still in a quandary about whether we call it 2015 or 2015. I'm still vexed by that one. I'm sure, though, you're probably asking the more poignant questions, though. What do we make of all that unfolded in France this week? How do we reconcile such a thing? Or maybe, just put simply, you ask the question, why? Why did this happen? Questioning is in our nature. It's what we do. The crowd that meets Jesus is a questioning crowd. They've got lots of questions to ask. We see, and if we follow the passage through and look at all the question marks, there's lots of questions they actually ask Jesus. But we can surmise that there's probably lots of questions that's on their mind. Who is this man that fed us? Who is this man that turned a simple lunch of bread and fishes into something that could feed 5,000 people? Who is this man? What do we make of him? How do we respond to him? What should we be saying? What should we be doing? Maybe they're asking, will he give us more bread to eat? Will he feed us even more? The crowd that meets Jesus is one that questions, that asks, that engages. Well, for all the questions, for all the questions they might ask, and for all the questions we might ask, it comes back to one answer when we look at this passage. One simple statement. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus' answer that he keeps on coming back to again and again in this passage is, I am the bread of life. Something we're familiar with. Something we know. He doesn't say, I am the caviar or the cake or whatever else, something that's exclusive. But something that cuts across cultures, across generations, across experience. The simple nourishment of bread. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Well, as we reflect on this statement and indeed this passage, I think it's right and good that we continue ourselves to ask questions. Not least the question, what do we make of this? What do you make of Jesus saying such a thing? What do you make of Jesus saying, I am the bread of life? Well, as we start to look at this question, as we start to reflect on it, here's some things that hopefully I think will be helpful in terms of opening up our understanding of what's going on in this passage and in John's Gospel. Here's a few things that I hope will help us understand that just a bit more. Firstly, I'm going to use a big technical phrase here. Is everyone alright with the sound, Alan? Okay. I'm going to use a technical phrase here. What's going on as we look at this passage, as we start to explore it a bit more? Now, what happens for me is I start putting on my thinking cap and I go, oh, this is exciting. This is all Johannine Christology. And I like to try and use that phrase to make me look smart. Now, I'll say this, it's not the things of university lectures. Quite simply, as we look at this passage, what we're learning about is the stuff that John is emphasizing about Jesus. The things that John is making clear as day about this person, Jesus, who came amongst us. So, first of all, he makes these things clear, and it follows on from what we've had with these signs that I mentioned earlier. For example, we've just had one where Jesus has fed the 5,000. Now we're told that these signs, the reason for them, is so that people might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But we go further. We go further with these I am statements because we're reminded about what Jesus said about himself. Maybe you're familiar with the artist Banksy. He was in the news just a couple of days ago. Basically, he's this artist who's surrounded in mystery. No one knows who he is, what he looks like, but every so often some of his graffiti art will crop up somewhere and it'll sell for millions and millions. It's sought after. But everyone wants to know who he is. Everyone wants to know what he looks like. Well, he was in the news this week because apparently, we don't know, we can't confirm this, but apparently he was on a train and there was a young lad and basically some stuff fell out of this guy's bag and the young lad helped him. It was paint and a gas mask for doing spray paint. The young lad helped him put it back in the bag and the guy says, "Here's a print. I'm going to put my signature on it." He says, "That's probably worth about 20 grand. And then he went away, never to be seen again. And so the media is all in a flurry because they want to know, was this the real one? Was this the real guy? Or is there someone claiming to be? We don't know. So here's this guy that's surrounded in mystery. Well, as we look at John's gospel, can I say that it's anything but mystery? It's anything but ambiguity. It's anything but question marks as to who this Jesus is saying he is. It's not shrouded in mystery. Actually, it's quite plain. Jesus, in saying, "I am the bread of life," and talking about bread that has come from heaven, and all these things, he's saying quite plainly, quite openly, "I am God's Son." Jesus is saying these things quite plainly. "I am God's Son." So as we start to think about what John is telling us, these things are made clear, and of course we have to think about how we're going to respond to them. But there's other things, as we look at this passage, that help us just to understand a bit more. You'll see that there's the notion of manna. That's one of the things that's mentioned as the crowd interacts with Jesus. They talk about Moses bringing manna or bread from heaven. Now, as John writes this gospel, he presumes that the readers will have a basic understanding of what he's talking about. Now, some of us will know and some of us won't. That's absolutely fine. Let me just jog our memories or bring you up to speed what this meaning of manna is. You might be aware in the media or in films, it's a while since I've managed to get the time to go to the cinema, but there's a film all about Moses' life, and it's about their time in Egypt and about fleeing from Egypt. This takes place in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible. And here's what happens. God's people flee from slavery, from the oppression of Pharaoh in Egypt, and they go into the wilderness. They go through the Red Sea, and that's the biblical account that we have where the Red Sea parts. God's people go through, and then Pharaoh's army gets washed away. Here's what happens, though, after that. It's been set up for the sequel in the film, but I can jump ahead and tell you what happens. Well, God's people start to grumble. The reason they grumble is, well, they're quite hungry. There's no food in the wilderness. They start to think back to what life was like in Egypt. They start to long for the pots of meat that they had there. Well, what unfolds is this. God explains to Moses that he is going to rain down bread from heaven. God is going to provide for his people. Now, when they come across this bread that's rained down, they ask, "What is it?" And that actually translates to manna. and the Hebrew. Manna, what is it? Well, it was bread, it was sustenance from heaven. It was God providing for his people. And it says this in Exodus 16:12. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. God was providing for his people so that they would know and trust in his provision. Well, for all the technical details, for all the things that might one day perchance come up in University Challenge or Mastermind or whatever else, these things are helpful, but I come back to that question. What do you make of it? What do you make of Jesus saying, I am the bread of life? What do you make of the answer that he gives to these people? How do you respond to it? What do you think of when you see that familiar image of a loaf of bread, knowing that Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. What do you make of it? In 2015, or 2015, or whatever we want to call it, there will be lots of questions that challenge us. Well, as we hear of Jesus' statement, I'd like to pose just three questions to us and ask you to reflect on them here as we spend time together, but actually so too as we go into this week. I want you to reflect on these three questions. The first is to ask you this quite simply. What do you hunger for? What are the things that you long for? What are the things that you want and feel you need just to be satisfied? Are you thinking of food? Are you thinking of your Sunday lunch? Are you wondering what that bread tastes like? Perhaps it's quite a cutting question. Maybe there's things in your life that you know you hunger for that aren't beneficial, lead to anything but everlasting life. What do you hunger for? January is a lean month, a month where perhaps we use up what's left over in our freezer, where we're eating broccoli and brown rice instead of pizza and chips. January is a lean month. But whether we're aching in our stomachs or whatever else, here we come and find true satisfaction for our hunger. True and lasting satisfaction. When the Israelites came across the manna, there they were asking, what is it? What is it? In our hunger, we ask, who? Who is it? Well, that's one question. What do you hunger for? But the second question is this. Who do we know that is hungry? Who are the people around us that we know are in hunger? Who have hunger pains coming from their very stomach? Who do we know that is hungry? Now, we might want to take the very pious answer and go towards the kind of spiritual hunger that we know. And there's a place for that. There's a place to recognize where people are far from God, where they need him in their life. And it's right and good that we think about that. I think Mary Slessor is an example of someone who has gone and shared in a dark place in terms of people's culture and their attitude towards God and all that they were caught up in. We can give very pious answers such as this. But when we ask the question, who do we know that is hungry? There is a biblical mandate, there is a biblical imperative to see the physical needs of those around us who are hungry. Pick up the book of James, and you'll learn from there. It's no good if you go and say, oh, everything will be fine, everything will be well, but don't actually do anything about it. There is a call to meet the needs of those who are hungry. So who do we know around us that's hungry? Whether it's a spiritual longing or a physical longing. Here's my third and final question. And with this, I leave you with a challenge. Mary Slessor got on the SS Ethiopia to go all the way to Nigeria. She was scared of water, I was told, so it must have been quite a journey. There's practical things at hand. And with this, we ask the question, how are we going to tell people? How are we going to tell people about the bread of life? How are we going to share this wonderful news that we can come and be satisfied? That we can be raised up on the last day because of God's Son, Jesus Christ? How are we going to tell people about this very bread, the bread of life? I want to suggest that the starting place, before we even get to answering this question, the starting place is that we ourselves know and live out the bread of life. That we make that a focus and a priority in our own lives. That we come to Jesus, the Son of God, that we trust in Him, and that we set our lives to follow after Him. To emphasize that, I'd like to share a wee story about something that happened just towards the end of last year. Hopefully it's a story that you can resonate with. We went into a restaurant. It was Frankie and Benny's. We went into a restaurant for my dad's birthday. So Lynn and I, Mum and Dad and Douglas. Now, if you've been in a restaurant similar to that one, you'll know that the kitchen is there for everyone to see. Now, like me, you probably like to scan the menu if you go out for tea and think, here's what we'd like. But have you ever been in the same situation where you walk past the kitchen and you walk past the servery where they place all the plates and you go, that's what I want. That's what I need. Or perhaps you see someone else when you sit down and they've got the very plate that you want. You almost want to go over and ask, can you tell me what that's called? Because I would like to ask my waiter or waitress for that. Maybe you'd be tempted to take a picture on your phone as you go past the servery. I think that'd be a little bit invasive if you were to do that at someone's table, to go up and take a picture. Here's the thing though. When you see what someone else has, and you see that it's good, that it's nourishing, that it's what they want and what they are enjoying, what's the dividend of that? You want to take a picture. You want to know more. You want to order the same thing. Before we go out and tell people about the bread of life, before we go out and share and point to and explain all these things and all the rest, we've got to be eating it ourselves. Knowing that nourishment. Being truly satisfied with God our Savior. Knowing that He is the Son of God. Believing these things as we read out these signs, as we recall them. Believing as we read these things. We need to be saying, not just, Jesus said, I am the bread of life, but be fully invested in saying, He is. He is the bread of life, and I know that in my own heart and in my own being. Of all the resolutions that you might make in 2015, here's the starting point: to know Jesus more and to live that out. Let's pray.